Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, we are back, and we are joined on the Western Hotline by the Bills General Manager, Brandon Bean. Brandon, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today. Welcome to the show.
Appreciate it, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good. We already figured out your whole off season. So
you did? Well,
yeah.
Lay it out for me. Send it over.
You want like an Excel sheet? You want, what do you want? I mean, tweet? You just let us know.
I don't tweet, so maybe fax it to Derek Boyko, and I'll get that off the fax, and then I'll just head to the beach for the off season until the draft gets here.
Deal, deal.
Asking Howard to use any technology is kind of tough. He told us today that he just started using his phone as his alarm, just like yesterday. So he's a little behind.
Hey, there's a camera on there, too, if your camera's not working.
You're kidding me. Don't make stuff up like that, Brandon. Stop that. Next thing you'll tell me is I can use music as my wake-up alarm on my phone.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Yeah, baby steps, Brandon. So, you know, yesterday, I mentioned on the show yesterday, I said to Jeremy, I was really feeling down yesterday, and I figured it out at some point during the show. The postseason, the Bills' end-of-season depression moment hit me yesterday during the show. Do you, as a GM, do you have similar moments, or have you had that moment this week where it finally hits you like, man, that was a fun season, and there's no game to prepare for?
Yeah, I mean, it's painful to lose, and I think I said it yesterday. The further you go, the more painful it is when you're out. And so, no, I mean, we lose that game Sunday night. You're in a fog Monday, fog, you know, as we're exiting with the players and fog Tuesday, and so trying to come out of it yesterday, it still hurts, but it'll be hard to watch the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is what you always look forward to watching, but if you're this close, it's not as much fun. So I'll try and peek at it a little bit, but I'm glad to hit the reset button here soon and start for 21.
Do you think the team exceeded your expectations? Maybe I should ask you a two-part question. What were they going in? Because they can certainly change over the course of the season as you see how well your team is playing. Did they go further than maybe you would have anticipated?
You know, I thought we had a really good shot to win the AFC East, but I knew we'd have to play really good football. Obviously, injuries come into play, and you don't know how healthy you're going to be at various times of the year. But, that was the number one goal, and get at least one home game here. To get two was great. And, you know, I do think the way we were playing down the stretch after the bye, you know, after the Hail Mary, I thought we played some really good football, you know, all three phases. Our defense came on strong the second half. Our offense, you know, for most of the 16 games was on a roll. And our special teams all season was just steady Eddie. I mentioned Heath yesterday. Great job, you know, with the young kickers, and some of the guys that we added to the special teams unit. But, no, I thought we were going into the playoffs. I said we're hot. There's nobody I don't think we can hang with. We'll have to give our best game each week to do it. And we ran into a Kansas City team that – I thought played one of their best games I had seen from the games on film that I watched. So we got their best. That's what you have to expect in an AFC Championship game. And we'll have to, if we get another opportunity in the near future, we'll have to play better.
You know, going season to season, you probably expect to say goodbye to some players, coaches, assistants, management, all that. But for you guys, you know, coaches and assistants and management – there have been, or there will be, a lot fewer departures than people might have guessed based on, you know, who's been hired out there and kind of poached around the league. Are you surprised to be getting so much of your group back?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I thought Dable had a really good shot at that Chargers job, it was sounding like, and then that fell through. And, you know, that Leslie Frazier got passed over is that's a shame. You know, I know a lot of people talk about Eric Bieniemy, and I'm sure he's going to be a really good coach. I'd put Leslie Frazier up against most any of them, and really shocked that he didn't get that Houston job when he went back for the second interview. So I'm not sure what they were looking for, but we're excited to get Leslie back. It's a win for the Buffalo Bills to get him back, but at the same time, I feel bad for him. I think he's earned that right. He's done a great job for 4 years, and to see him get passed over personally, his office is across from mine. It's hard because I know how bad he wanted the opportunity. But again, he'll come back. He's such a pro. He'll get dialed back in, and he'll be ready to get us going here in 21.
And as you start to look to the roster, Brandon, I've been using this analogy. I know you've got a pretty good golf game, so I wonder if you'd agree. It's a little bit like trying to go from a 90s golfer to an 80s golfer to a 70s golfer here. You know, your team's better. It might be harder to improve, and you've got to do finer things at this point. Is this offseason different than previous offseasons? Because while the work you've got to put in is just as much, the results are kind of finer. You're looking for to fine-tune a roster rather than rebuild one.
Yeah, it's a good analogy, Jeremy. What I would say is what's made it harder is this cap. You know, from a planning standpoint, you can plan all you want, but this has been the biggest wrinkle for all 32 teams. I mentioned it yesterday. You know, the cap was 198 this year, and we were anticipating at least 210 based on whether there'd be a new TV deal or not. It could go even higher. I know some teams were telling me 215 was the number they were shooting for. So to do that when you're planning last spring and then all of a sudden you get to the summer and realize, man, there's not going to be fans at these games, and which is going to severely impact the cap, there's nothing you can do. You can't undo those moves. At that point, you just go pick your best 53 and then we'll make adjustments this year. It'll happen to all teams. You know, some teams are going to have that are in different phases of the rebuild. We'll have more space than us, but you know, we'll have to be very, very sharp on each move. And every dime we spend, we got to make sure we spend it wisely. And then I said it yesterday: the onus is on us to have a really strong draft. Our personnel department knows that. I know that, and you know, we can't fail there.
Year to year, you might be kind of tweaking the way you play based on trends in the league. You know, we've watched the league become a passing league. Base defense adds nickel corner now more than it does linebackers. So with that in mind, how much of building year to year is about, well, just the best football team, and how much is actually focusing on maybe a specific opponent, matchup-specific opponents? You know, we can talk about Kansas City as the team that's in the way. When you evaluate, when you build, will you look at, you know, whether they be the Super Bowl champs, the division champs, the team that's in your way? Do you think about beating that team when you put together a roster?
You do. You know, you first look at your division opponents and see how you stack up. You look at matchups, and you talk about where, you know, even though we were undefeated in the division this year, where we came up short, where the other team, whether it was the Dolphins, the Patriots, or the Jets, and those teams are going to add strength. So you're trying to make sure you match up in as many areas and, you know, as you can versus those guys. Obviously, we'll Kansas City, we'll review that game, you know, some this year and see where we came up short. Where was it personnel standpoint? What were some things schematically we could have done? And then, you know, you still have to add good football players, though. And there's no we can't sit here and just try and get better for one team, because that might not be the team that advances next year. So at the end of the day, we got to make sure we're strong, you know, in various areas of the game so that we can be a balanced team. You know, we don't want to be really good on defense and not very good on offense, or vice versa. And obviously, we care a lot about special teams here.
The running game, I want to ask you a little bit about that. By the way, we want you to sign a free agent tight end. We got a couple names. We'll fax them.
Okay.
Because, you know, you probably can't talk about them. The running game, Brandon, you talked about it, and Sean did too, about the ability to run the ball better. Not necessarily more. I don't think you guys used that word, but you did say better. So I guess I'd ask you a two-parter here. One, Having said that, though, do you still believe the passing game, which was so good this year and turned out to be your strength and your identity, would you prefer that it's still the strength and identity of the team next season?
Yeah, it's a passing league, and when you have, I think you again, you go back to what's your strength. When you have Josh Allen, the receivers that we have, obviously led by Diggs, but you know, that's the strength of your offense. You don't want to go away from that and just have those guys. We're not going to run it, you know, 50% of the time probably, as long as that's our strength. Now, if we had an unbelievable, you know, Hall of Fame type running back, you know. Some of the guys that you see that are these dual threats, obviously you'd get those guys more involved. But, you know, you kind of lean on what's the strength. But I think where we were talking about, or, you know, I know me specifically yesterday, was just in certain games, certain situations, whether it's weather, whether it's the opponent, you know, they're really good at pass rushing. They have an outstanding defensive backfield, whatever, it's going to be harder to throw. Those games, we want to be able to run it. And so we want to be team specific. You know, if this team we're coming up and we're playing is not a good run defense, then we should try and exploit them a little bit if they're very strong in the pass. So that's kind of where we're looking for. Just again, I said balance, but balance doesn't mean running it 50 times, throwing it 50 times. It's you know, whether it's 2-1, whatever, just being able to do it when you need to do it to affect the game, whether it's possess the ball to keep the other quarterback on the sideline. There's so many variables in each matchup that you want to be able to run when you need to run the ball.
Having said that, what do you believe were the shortcomings, or what was missing in the running game this year?
You know, I think we just didn't get in sync at times, and I think part of it was we were throwing the ball so well. You know, you get what you emphasize too, and there were some games where Josh and the receivers were really on board. I'm not faulting Brian Daboll for as much as we threw the ball. We were throwing it very well, and which was helping our defense, because, you know, especially that run in, at the end of the season, we were winning a lot of those games by double digits. And when you get up two scores and beyond, that puts a lot of pressure on the other team and lets, you know, our defensive line kind of pin their ears back and get after them. So I just think you know, I loved how we finished that Pittsburgh game, where we ran the last 7-plus minutes off. The New England game here, even though it was close, we ran the ball really well. Just, you know, I thought there were some times this year that in games where our passing game wasn't in sync, or we faced maybe a really strong pass rush or a really good defensive backfield, and maybe we needed to run it a little bit more, and it, we weren't in sync those days. And again, running the ball is not on the running backs. Part of it is, but it's on the O-line, it's on the tight ends, and sometimes it can be on the receivers. You know, we had some – you know, there were a lot of times where when you come back and watch the films, we were one guy away, and it could have been a receiver, it could have been a tight end, it could have been a lineman that didn't block down or went the wrong way. Just so many things go into the run game, and we got to continue to get better at it.
We're with Bills GM Brandon Bean on our Wester Hotline here on WGR. Brandon, you mentioned yesterday Josh Allen hasn't reached his ceiling. Where or how do you think he still needs to grow and improve if he hasn't reached the ceiling yet? What's left for him?
Yeah, I think his decision-making has really improved. But I think he can continue to do that, you know. But you can't get too mad at Josh. I mean, look at how many times you think Josh is about to take a sack, or he goes ahead and needs to throw it away, and he whirls around, gets out of what looks to be a sack, and then not only throws it away, but finds, you know, John Brown or Diggs or Cole or somebody coming back to the ball. So it's hard to get frustrated, but I think, you know, we saw it show up a little bit against Kansas City. There was a couple times he stepped out of bounds or almost stepped out of bounds and took the intentional grounding. Just some of those plays, knowing when that play is over, and let's get back to 2nd and 10 instead of 2nd and 19. It's just so hard to overcome those, and you end up punting the ball or forcing a turnover. So, again, he's improved so much in that area. I thought he's done a great job of protecting his body compared to the first 2 years. You know, even the other night he ran for a lot of yards, but he slid, got down, didn't take a lot of hits running the ball. He took more of his hits, you know, holding the ball instead of throwing it away a few times. But Again, I think he'll just naturally continue to learn the game. He's seen so many disguises and defenses and things like that. It's coming more natural to him, and it's just it's another year in our system. Brian Daboll looks to be back, which is exciting for him and for us. And you know, hopefully Ken Dorsey, he's had an interview or two. We'll see where that goes, but. Continuity at the quarterback position has been very important for us, and we've been fortunate to have pretty much the same people around Josh his first 3 years, and it looks to be that going into year four.
I know you don't negotiate in the media. I'm going to try this anyway. When it comes to Josh and a potential contract extension, I'm not looking for numbers, obviously, but let's say you and the agent can agree to a deal that's fair for both sides. Can you even financially in the cap make an extension fit this offseason, or is that out of the question to even have those discussions?
No, I think we could make something fit. Yeah, I do. I mean, without getting into how we would do it, I think there's ways we can make it fit. Again, I'm looking forward to hear real soon, hopefully in the next few weeks, finding out what this cap is going to be, or at least close to what it's going to be, so that we can start looking at some of our pending free agents. But no, there's ways that we can do it, and we'll have to be creative with it for sure, based on our current cap situation. But I definitely think it can be done.
Couple of things I wanted to get in before we let you go, Brandon. Up front, you know, you and Sean always talk about how important it is to build your team up front, and you win, you know, on line play and everything. You'd mentioned yesterday in talking about the defense and specifically the defensive line, you felt, I think, it was a little light. Is that something that Star coming back checks that box, or is that an area where, you know, adding a little more beef is something you'd like to address in the offseason?
No, I think Star, you know, assuming Star comes back, and I have no reason to think he wouldn't, but, you know, he's definitely, you know, a cog in the middle and can hold the point and really anchor in there as good as anybody that we have. And so, no, if Star's back playing at Star's level, I think we would check that box. But we'll obviously hope to get him back in here this spring, depending on what the rules are and make sure he's ready to go after a year off. Full confidence that Star will come back and play at the level he was playing, or maybe a year off even helped him freshen up a little bit, I hope.
And on the other side of the line, you know, you have Feliciano and Darrell Williams as free agents. Amidst all of your decision-making, your free agents, amidst the discussion of the lower cap, are you confident you can bring both guys back, by the way? And what kind of a priority is it to keep both of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, very pleased with both those guys. Obviously, John's been here a couple years now, had the unfortunate start to this year with the injury. But, you know, his versatility, we like that he can go in there. Like what happened, Mitch comes out in the first couple plays of that New England game, and John jumps right in there at center. You can't have enough guys like that. And then, you know, Darrell, I'm obviously very familiar with drafting him in Carolina. And, you know, he went through a bad knee injury a couple years ago. And I thought this year he came back and was getting back to form and played really good football for us. And so would love to have them both back. Fitting them in the whole thing, we'll have to see how that'll work. But, again, you know, we'd love to have as many of these guys back as we can get. Until I see this cap and what these guys' markets are, it's really hard to predict.
And then, I guess, finally, do you think you could get any of your guys back before the league year opens up, or do you anticipate all of them at least wanting to see, you know, what the market says?
Yeah, I think we'll make an attempt. There's different theories. Some guys, you know, just want to get to a certain number, or their agents feel like if you can get here, everybody's happy and you can get it done. But some guys this close, Howard, they're like, hey, I'm a month away. I've waited this long. I just want to at least see what my opportunities would be. And then, you know, sometimes they'll just take the highest dollar. And sometimes guys will say, hey, if we think this is our market out there, this is what we've got from these teams. If you can match it, our preference is Buffalo. And, you know, then it's on us to see if we can make it happen on our end.
Well, congratulations again on a fantastic season. It was I'm obviously speaking for all Bills fans. It was really, truly an amazing ride. And we wish you the best of success in the offseason. When you get to the beach, you let Jeremy know where you're at. We'll come down. We're socially distancing and all that stuff.
Sounds good. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
We'll fax you our list of off-season additions.
Well, yeah, don't forget about the draft time, Howard. You had your big request.
Oh, hey, listen. You're picking 30th. We get up really early. I don't want to stay up that late if you're trading out of 30. So if you're not making the pick, could you give me a heads up in round one so I can get to bed?
Yeah, just text Derek.
Okay.
Maybe the day ahead to remind me. I got a couple other people that had a similar request.
Hey, I'm not putting pressure on you, Brandon. I'll wait till like 9:30 that night. I mean, you don't have to tell me the day earlier. I'm just saying like early in the evening if you don't mind.
You know I'm going to do something. I'm not just going to sit there.
You're killing me, Brandon. Okay, now I got to get ready for trades. Okay. Thank you for your time, sir.
All right, you got it. Nice talking to you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.